This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome back to the TMZ Podcast. I'm Charlie Knapp.
I'm Edward Lewis.
I'm Derek Hoffman.
And I'm Fabian.
Edward.
No last name, Fabian.
Welcome.
Welcome, Edward. Glad to have you.
Sports expert, Edward.
Yeah. Yes. Glad we're talking Will Smith on the sport.
All right, guys, so let's get right into it. So one of the big stories today is about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett. So we've been seeing a lot of like crazy headlines coming out because Will Smith has this bombshell memoir that is coming out. And so we're seeing a lot of like different headlines of what's said in the book. And this latest one is pretty insane. So he basically said that back in the day, he had sex with so many women that he was pretty much disgusted with himself and that he used to vomit after orgasming.
Sure. It's a verb if you want it to be.
That's an easy one.
And said that it was a
psychosomatic
reaction, which, you know, we're hearing so many different like sexual things about Will, about Jada, about their relationship together.
So basically, their entire relationship, you can just classify it as TMI. We've been hearing story after story after story about Will and Jada and how much they don't love each other and how much of a toxic relationship that they're in, because apparently they seem to have some sort of open relationship.
Right, which has been rumored for so many years.
It's been rumored for years and now it's confirmed. But with this specific headline, it was ridiculous. So this is part of his memoir, and he was basically saying the context of this is that he was dating a girl at the time. I think it was like in the 90s in his heyday. She had apparently like cheated on him or something like that. So what he did was that he went out, started, you know, sleeping with a ton of women, but he said that the act itself, like, you know, basically just like sleeping with women with no connection or anything like that, was so antithetical to his being and his whole constitutionality or whatever of who he is. He created some kind of psychosomatic effect where he would vomit or get like physically ill during sex and during climaxing.
Like, I can't
basically, he didn't like this version
this
of himself. And so
just
when he climaxed, because he was having sex with so many women, which nice to have the option when you're upset. Nice to have the option to go out and have
sure.
sex with many, many different women. This is part of the problem for me with what Will Smith is doing. Will Smith is an A-list celebrity, one of the biggest celebrities
sure.
of all of our lifetimes. And I'm learning too much about him.
Like,
and the problem is it's unrelatable. Howard Stern shares a bunch about himself and he's an oversharer, but Howard Stern is a relatable guy. He got very famous by sharing a lot because he shares the same anxieties that normal people do. Will Smith having, you know, dreams of harems of women, having sex with too many women. It's totally unrelatable.
There was a whole thing with him like wanting to commit suicide, like all this trauma. And I get it. People go through trauma. I'm sure he's been through his fair share. But like at a certain point, especially for him and Jada in the sex life and like their whole, like the whole, like the fact they'll look each other in the face and say, honey, I don't love you, but I, you know, we're going to work this out. It's just so, you're right. It's not relatable and it's cringeworthy. It's like, stop.
And also you wonder the authenticity of what he's saying too, because obviously he's trying to sell his new book.
Right.
So you wonder like how much of this is exaggerated. And even if it's true, like, do you really need to reveal those details?
That's my point too, though. Why would you keep doing it? I don't understand why. If you,
what do you mean, have sex and vomit?
Yeah, if I'm vomiting every time I climax, why would I keep doing it? That's when you're talking about the unrelatable and is it believable. Nobody's having sex and vomiting every time and being like, I'm going to keep doing this.
Right.
I can't imagine how awkward that would be like in the moment.
Well, we don't have
how does that make the girl feel afterwards? If you're like, excuse
terrible.
Me.
Like you were disgusting.
He's like,
Oh, no.
Well, now we know what Fabian's O face looks like.
Even just gagging, I'd be like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And then, of course,
and
you would start thinking
it.
About
and
yourself.
And he repeats it, you're right.
And then keep doing it?
So it's funny, because when I saw this headline yesterday, I had to, like, read into the actual, like, what it was about. And basically, it sounded like this is something that he was doing in the past. Because for a minute, I was like, wait, was this something that he continued doing through present day? Because here's the thing, there's so many rumors with Will Smith. Because we know about Jada Pinkett, she had an affair with, what's his face?
It wasn't an affair, it was a... what was the word?
It was a
They did have a word.
Entanglement.
Yeah, an entanglement with August Alsina, the singer, who said, I, you know, whatever. And then, but the rumors with Will Smith. So apparently, He, when they were making Hitch back in like the 2000s, allegedly
fell in love with his co-star.
Fell in love, but he hooked up with her. That's the word. The word is
Eva Mendes?
Yes.
I'm thinking about the other one.
No.
He fell in love with his co-star.
There's others. The word is that he hooked up with Eva Mendes. And not only that, but he did a movie with Margot Robbie a few years ago where they were like co-starring alongside each other. The rumor is that they also hooked up on that set as well.
She was married, I think.
I don't know if she was married at the time. Anyway, whatever. So the point is like if because I was thinking like if this continued, was he like vomiting on Eva Mendes?
Your mind is going to be straight. We don't know any of this, but is it too much sharing for you? Is this making Will Smith less appealing in a movie?
It is.
I just saw King Richard, and I love Will Smith has been America's dad for so long. Now
right
I got to think about him orgasming.
That doesn't impact me watching it.
Really, it's just you accept him as King Richard.
What difference does it make?
He's a great actor. I agree. Yeah. You can kind of forget.
King Richard was fantastic, by the way.
About the Williams sisters, both Serena and Venus,
right.
About their dad,
and he plays
how
their dad.
He, you know, encouraged them and like helped them become mega successful tennis players.
But to your point, I think it does sort of tarnish his larger pop culture image.
In my mind, because
I look at it and I just cringe. I'm like, damn, you're a cringeworthy person.
Like, a lot of A-list stars, when you think of them, like Brad Pitt or Angelina, you don't know a whole lot.
There's an air of mystery.
Exactly.
Yes.
The mystique. And Will Smith is, there's no mystique. All the smoke screens are gone. It's just like, here's the pure body and the pure soul. I'm like,
and as a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he was like this cool guy that everybody wanted to be and everything. And now he was kind of weird that whole time.
Now he's stripped down and raw, and it's like strange.
But watching his movies, I'm not getting weird watching his movies.
For sure. You can separate the two.
Yeah, from a human perspective, I'm like, well, he's not that cool anymore.
He's not a cool guy. But anyway.
And even Jada Pinkett, too. She has her own show, like the podcast, Red Table Talk.
She has good conversations on there with good topics, but she's a weirdo, too.
It's the TMI family. Everyone is just sharing too much.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Right.
Yeah. So, but he's not the only actor who's been under a little bit of fire. We got Chris Pratt.
Yes.
So a lot going on with Chris Pratt.
Right.
Chris Pratt is going to star as the voice of Mario from the video games in the upcoming
Super Mario,
indeed. So, and everyone knows Mario, right? Everyone knows at least it's me, Mario.
I think it was one guy who did the voice for years on the games. And
I think
that's right. I think it was one person. I don't know the guy's name off the top, but.
But we're living in different times now, and Chris Pratt, not an Italian gentleman, is going to be doing this voice. And I'll tell you, usually I say actors are actors. You can play a different voice. It's acting. You're supposed to get out of yourself. Here I have a little bit of a different issue. Mario is an Italian stereotype.
He is built as a plumber
who uses a thick Italian
accent
and has the mustache and everything. And now you're doing a sort of caricature of Italian people without an Italian person. I think it's a little bit different than what's going on with Jared Leto, who in House of Gucci lays it on a little thick.
The
Italian accent a little thick.
It's laughable that he has.
It's so weird.
Like,
but
rolls the R's.
It's
just very strange.
Right. So it's part
but
of this larger.
He's trying to play someone who is a real person and maybe missing the mark. Here, you're just doing a stereotype.
Well,
it's strange.
What is the reason for having Chris Pratt do this, other than you can sell the movie as Chris Pratt's in it? But
I mean, that's probably the main reason, Edward.
Well, I agree, but why not get the old Mario guy, right? It's just a voice. So why do you need Chris Pratt?
Because we're saying the old Mario guy. We don't even know his name.
Starring old Mario guy.
So the latest news with this Chris Pratt thing is that I don't know if it's the director or like an EP on it, but somebody who's like heading up the movie, he came out and said Chris Pratt is not going to play up the heavy Italian accent. And I don't know exactly. He didn't clarify exactly what he meant. Is there going to be a hint of Italian accent?
So this is going to be a serious dramatic role for him?
Yes, and I think that's why Chris Pratt was cast, because I think they're trying to do like a proper mark where he has like dialogue. It's an animated movie, but they're going to do it. There's going to be a whole plot
Mario's low-key from Detroit. Like, we don't know.
It's not going to be the traditional Mario catchphrase. He's like, it's amazing. He's going to say more than that in the movie. Like, and that's why Chris Pratt has been cast. But the director, I forget who exactly said this, but it was on record today. He said, we're not playing up the heavy Italian accent. I think there might be a hint, but they're not going to do it to the extent where it's considered
It's almost even worse if he does like a gritty remake of Mario and his evil brother, Wario. It's a ridiculous
game. They're making like anime or something.
Yeah. If it's truly not
Mario, the plumber, the thick mustache, and all that, I think you're okay with it, right? Like,
this is a man who rode a dinosaur named Yoshi. Like, we can't turn this into a real family biopic. This is crazy to me.
It's a weird movie choice in general, just to make a movie about Mario. But like,
wait, why? They did Sonic the Hedgehog. They're doing like all
right. You're right.
That went well. Remember the teeth, though?
Oh, yeah. Boy. They had to redo that whole thing.
Real controversy over
but
the
with
teeth.
Chris Pratt specifically, it's interesting because I feel like in addition to the backlash about the, you know, who can voice what, who can play what, authentic acting and all that, and authentic casting, Chris Pratt, people hate this guy. Like, you know,
yeah, they do.
They really do. Like, and the, it boils down to
he's like kind of a nice guy.
Well, he is a nice guy.
A little too nice.
He's a little churchy for people's taste.
Very
that's
churchy.
What it is. He's a known Christian, and I think he's voiced some conservative views, but people automatically link that to Trumpism. You're far right. You're like if you associate yourself at
in
all
Hollywood
with,
is very liberal.
Especially if you associate yourself at all with any sense of conservatism in this town, especially. You are painted as the bad guy, and people just hate Chris Pratt because they think he's anti-gay.
Him.
Yeah, he's a leading man, but they perceive him as anti-gay, as this bigot, and he hasn't said anything about any of those things. But they're just projecting their assumptions onto him, which sucks because, like, first of all, he's not even that really good of an actor. That's a whole different conversation.
Okay,
but,
hot take, baby.
That aside, he shouldn't be castigated over his religion or his political views. And we don't even know what his political views are.
I think that's fair to a point, although we do get him sometimes at LAX and he is into hunting. He has certain qualities that people associate with the right.
Right. He seems to fit some kind of profile or something, but still though, that's
you're
right.
There's a lot of flack. I agree. I think he's actually a decent actor and I don't want to get back into that.
let's get on to another debate.
Yeah. All right.
LeBron versus Michael Jordan, as if we hadn't heard that debate.
This is my favorite debate.
So wait, why is this a debate? You guys have to explain this to me.
It's a generational
thing. Michael Jordan is like the greatest basketball player of all time.
Your dad grew up thinking Michael Jordan was greatest of all time, and
but even
dad's
us,
son
like,
grew up
even all of us
LeBron.
Here, different kind of different generations ish. Like,
I have LeBron as the greatest of all time.
No way.
LeBron, if you're being honest, is a better basketball player than Michael Jordan.
Sure, all around.
But we'll get to the debate because this is key.
So anyway, so Stephen A. Smith, he hosts a show called First Take on ESPN, and he was with JJ Redick over the weekend
And if you think Fabian's takes are hot, you gotta watch.
So Stephen A. Smith has a lot of takes, but this take it takes them all. So LeBron James got in a fight with Isaiah Stewart over the weekend, and he got suspended over it. I'm sure you've seen, you've heard it. LeBron smacked Isaiah Stewart in the eye, and then it caused a big fracas, and both guys got suspended. Well, Stephen A. says he believes it all went down because LeBron is basically soft.
Yes.
I think we even got the sound, so let's play that.
LeBron is not somebody that instills fear in you. Of course, you got a game plan for him. But a lot of times when we think about MJ, for example, you didn't mess with MJ. With LeBron, you believe you can take him. You believe he can be had.
I don't know whether to believe that you believe what you're saying.
I do believe
that's
what
you're saying. That's crazy.
Well, it's not crazy. If you watch the game, which you do, and you
I played against LeBron in the playoffs.
We're talking about the greatest player who ever played the game, which I believe to be Michael Jordan. And a lot of times when you delineate the difference between the two, they're talking about a fear factor. There's just certain things you knew that you wasn't going to do to MJ.
The reason people talk about LeBron, though, is because he lives in a 24/7 news.
They would have talked about anybody.
And
it would have been just as bad, if not worse, for MJ, no doubt about it.
MJ?
So you're saying that the fear that Michael Jordan instilled in people, that's what LeBron did?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Stephen A's got a point, man.
Well, it's important to note that was JJ Redick, by the way. He's a former basketball player.
Right, for the Sixers and everything.
Here's why I think he has a point. I watched both of them. I'm older than you guys. I watched Michael Jordan in his heyday. I watched LeBron James in his heyday. Michael
First
Jordan, you guys all know Michael as well, but he scared people. He against Michael Jordan was snarling. He was sociopathic in his competitiveness in a way that when you watch LeBron, he takes the talc powder and he throws it in the air like snow. There's a fun-loving quality to him that was missing
Family
from
man.
Michael Jordan.
But isn't he also kind of a big baby too? LeBron always crying?
I think we sort of needed
complaining.
He's a flopper, which makes him seem soft.
Right. I think we need to kind of define what Stephen A. is talking about. He's talking about fear, and JJ pushed back and said, well, people are, they're nervous and afraid to face LeBron in the playoffs. They don't want to, but the difference is what Stephen A. is talking about, I think, is this your stomach drops when you're going to play Michael Jordan. For LeBron, people, I feel like they feel like they can step up. They can take him. That's the mindset.
Up against him and they get dunked on because LeBron
LeBron is that good, but it's intimidation versus respect. LeBron is respected. He is not an intimidator.
But I'm not going to be a worse basketball player going into you if I'm intimidating. Maybe you might punch me.
Actually, no, because people play LeBron harder. They check him.
That's fine. He gets the foul call all the time.
On him. He wasn't afraid of LeBron. He was on his ass, like playing him hard. You know.
Let's be honest. Isaiah Stewart Stewart is a nobody, basically, right? In the NBA. He's not a big name, and that man wanted to fight LeBron James on the court.
After he was being held back by 27 people.
That's a good point.
He had every opportunity to swing on him, and once everybody got a hold of him, he's like, okay, hold me back.
I think he might have made a big show after the fact, but I agree with Derek in the sense that LeBron, especially his public image outside of basketball, I think, comes into the table here, like where he's a family man. He's all about movies. He's doing Looney Tunes. He's doing this.
And Michael Jordan didn't do Looney Tunes. Yeah.
Michael Jordan did the original Looney Tunes.
But Michael Jordan,
in his prime, he was seen as a killer, and he was a killer.
Who
on the court.
Cares?
And
LeBron
also,
James
I would
is
say Michael Jordan was like absolutely beloved. Everyone knows like his shoe line. I mean, it's like the biggest thing. The Jordans
and
are,
LeBron
like, the
shoes
thing.
Are very big as well.
No, not at all.
I mean, they're not Jordans, but they are right there.
I would say LeBron has a lot of enemies, like the public. Yeah, I'm sure he's got a huge fan base, but like for me, I mean, I know he's like on the Lakers or whatever, but even before that, and like the Miami Heat, like LA hated the Miami Heat. So when he came over, I was like, oh, I hate LeBron.
Listen, LeBron is gifted, but he's not a killer. I think like, Michael Jordan's a killer. Michael Jordan went to the NBA Finals 6 times.
They're different
and
players,
he's 6
though.
For 6.
Jordan
LeBron
is a shooter and a
teammates.
Scorer, and LeBron is a passer. It's that's their personality.
That's
the way
right.
Play.
One is like, soft and one is tough.
Yes. I think the best way you can maybe like break this down is like, look, they're both badasses on the court. Nobody can deny that. But one was a badass outside of the court. And that matters.
I just don't
LeBron's
care.
Not a badass.
I don't care. Who cares?
Really? I'm going to make you care, Edward.
Why does it matter
because
whether
basketball
he's soft
purists
or tough?
Should care.
He's good
that's
at
why.
Basketball, and that's all I care about. All
right, fine.
Edward must be so soft on the court. He looks like buttery
soft. I'm in the corner. I'm not doing anything else.
Nice.
I'm not playing defense.
Okay, I guess this is an awkward transition to something a little more serious. Ghislaine Maxwell. She is the alleged madam to Jeffrey Epstein, the late Jeffrey Epstein, who killed himself and who has been accused by multiple women of basically trafficking girls for a lot of different people all over the world, allegedly. And, you know, Epstein is dead, obviously. He killed himself a couple years ago. Ghislaine, her trial is coming up on Monday, and, you know, she has denied all the accusations against her. I think she has 8 counts. One of them is sex trafficking of minors. And she says, no, I had no knowledge of anything. She was Epstein's girlfriend, but she just denies any knowledge of anything that might have been going on in his world. But frankly, when you see all these photos of her, she shows up in so many photos of Epstein. And there's the famous photo of Prince Andrew with that one girl.
Virginia Giuffre.
Yes, right. Thank you for the facts there. And I think, I don't know, is Ghislaine in that photo too, I think? Or?
I'm not sure if she's in it, but the level of fascination about her is, you're right, it's so enduring. And it's because Epstein is now dead, right? Yeah. She is the last window into the depravity of his existence.
Yes.
The secret sex islands, all that stuff. She was in the middle of it.
She was.
So people are fascinated by this trial. She's stuck in jail pending the trial, been trying to get out, says there's rats in her room. She's lived this opulent life much of her existence. She's quite
she's
wealthy as well.
Now
she's stuck in this prison cell. And here's my take a little bit on it from a legal perspective is there's an adage that says great cases make bad law. So what that means is because this case has so much attention, there's so much emotion involved in it. What you really want from a case is you want reason divorced from passion. You don't want a judge
ideally,
who is passionate about things because then they'll let that infect their sort of decision-making. You want a jury who's able to just look at the facts and apply the law to the facts.
Sure.
Here, you're going to get Ghislaine Maxwell, who the very thought of her is going to arouse such strong emotions.
In every potential juror, though?
In everything. In judges, in juries. This is a hard case for people because everyone is so emotionally charged over it. And that's the same thing we've seen in Ahmaud Arbery.
Sure.
You see it in a lot of cases.
Although this is different because, you know, we're not going to go down a conspiracy rabbit hole here, but there is a big conspiracy factor to this case and the whole Epstein saga in general. And that's the fact that there are a lot of high profile, powerful, powerful people that have been connected to these two. Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, like Bill Gates, like and so many other like high power executives, rich, rich people who've hung out with them, who've been cozy with them over the years. They've been photographed with these people. And, you know, like, who knows if they've been involved or knew anything about what might have been going on.
Yes.
But that's
be interesting to know if he'll throw them out of the bag.
That's what people's fascination is. They think Ghislaine is going to give up the good and say, fine, I'll tell you, X, Y, Z, and everybody else, here's all the names of everyone who was actually participating in this sick, devious, like, just activity. And people, that's what they wanted. They want to hear names. They want to see links and confirm their biases. Like, see, there is a pedal ring in Hollywood. See, there is this going on. That's what they want. That's what they want to hear and confirm through this case.
I think you're 100% right. One of the big battles in this case that's coming up is the black book that she has.
Yes.
So she has a little black book.
Didn't Heidi Fleiss have one of these?
Yes. Everyone is obsessed with little black books because there's an air of mystery about them.
There
what
is.
Names are in there? Who is connected to Epstein, and she has one that has names from.
It's like flight logs,
right? It's everyone. It's wow. It's names, it's numbers, it's sort of dates and things like that. Right. And people want to introduce all this as evidence and say anyone in this book was involved in the Epstein scandal. And her lawyers are like, look, A, the book could have been doctored by this point. I haven't held on to the book. I've been sitting in a prison cell. Mm. And B, just because a name is in a book, everyone's going to draw all these conclusions.
Sure.
He also was a very rich guy who knew a lot of people who weren't in his sex ring and things like that. So it's a hard case to look at. And everyone wants to jump to conclusions.
And to that point, it's interesting because, like, you know, there are scores of women who have alleged that, you know, Ghislaine and that Jeffrey trafficked them and from a young age and their teens and whatnot. But this case only focuses on a handful of those people. It's a handful of, not plaintiffs, but, alleged victims, essentially. Yeah. It's like three or four of them. And you're right. Like, that's where the scope needs to be. It's not going to get outside of that. It's not going to get, because, you know, the public was like, oh, let everything in. It's like, no, it's going to be limited to these group of people that are, like, essentially.
That the prosecutors have evidence about.
Yes,
that's what
exactly.
The cases they have to run with, but everyone's going to want to stuff everything into it. So it'll be fascinating.
And plus the fact that Epstein, like, died under very, you know, mysterious circumstances, that holds another conspiracy.
That would be
the biggest thing I would and the fact that she's not dead, you know, people want to see what this lady is going to say or not say. So
what a happy story to end on.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Well, way to stack this.
So yesterday was Thanksgiving.
It was.
I hope you guys had a nice Thanksgiving.
I did. Thank you.
Wanted to talk about things that we are thankful for this year. You know, the year is kind of coming to a close, and I'll go first.
Wait, is this professional or is this like personal or is it a little bit of both?
Let's talk work related.
Okay, work related. Fine.
Topics that you're thankful for.
Okay.
I will start. I am thankful for Britney Spears ending her conservatorship.
You took the good one.
Well, are you going to say that you're happy?
I was
going
to try to hijack Britney
you're
Spears
not
from
even
you.
A Britney Spears
you're right.
Fan.
I'm helling out telephony. But anyway,
name
continue.
Three songs,
I'm going to pick
Fabian.
My own. I'm going off.
Continue.
Happy for her that she is finally happy. One, the fact that her dad got taken off the conservatorship, that was a really big win. But the fact that she now feels like she can live her life the way she wants, I think is like really important, especially since she's been in this conservatorship for 13 plus years or was in this conservatorship for that long.
Let me ask you a question, Charlie. Are you purely happy or are you happy and a little bit nervous about what the future holds for her?
You know, I think you can have both. I am a little nervous because I want her to stay on track. I want her to take all the suggestions that
were
relayed
to her. And be safe and healthy, like obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. I want her to, you know, take all of that into consideration. So, of course, you're nervous as if like a parent was nervous that their kid is like going off to college without them. So it's kind of like
you're thankful though. You're still thankful that she's out and that she can be free and enjoy her life.
Exactly. Everyone should have, especially if you are working and you are making the money and providing money for other people and their families, you should be able to have access to your own money and your happiness.
Word up. What about you?
What about you, Eddie?
It's more thankful for like the pandemic coming to a close with the football games and the basketball games and all that stuff. I mean, having to watch all these sports figures behind, you know, I guess closed doors. They were all in empty stadiums and the mask and all that stuff.
Zoom press conferences.
You can never see any athletes. And then you got the same four questions to every athlete and you never got the smaller stories. And now it's all back. You know?
And even us too, you guys. Like we all have been working from home
for a long time.
And now we're here in the office and... It's crazy. Yeah. I've actually lost weight coming to the office. I don't know how because
I know,
feel like I'm eating like
mac and cheese and
I know.
In-N-Out burger
and we had In-N-Out. So yeah,
that's a good one. The end of the pandemic.
That is a very deep one.
Or so it seems. And that's you know we'll see if it actually ends. But
well,
mine's gonna sound quite frivolous next to that. Yeah. But I'm actually really thankful for a recent story. So. When you work in the news long enough, it's hard for a story to really sort of tap in and sort of touch you in a way. I don't know if Charlie finds that or if you find that.
Yeah,
you write so much and
you're
we
numb.
Read so much
you
news that you get
it.
A little bit numb to it.
Sure.
We put up a story about Dick Vitale coming back and being on the sidelines, and he was completely
How
choked up.
Yeah.
He came back.
I didn't want to cry. I can't believe I'm sitting here. ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, all my buddies at ESPN. I want to thank certainly my family and all the fans.
You know, Dick Vitale is college basketball. If you watch college basketball, his voice is synonymous with the sport. And he came back and he was so emotional because he's fighting cancer right now. And he calendared this game and he gave this emotional intro and it touched me. I had goosebumps just listening to it.
I was tearing up.
And I was thankful to have something that made me that happy and that sort of like uplifting. You know, we do a lot of death stories, a lot of sickness stories, a lot of bad jury verdicts.
Yeah.
That I was thankful to read that
and
story.
College basketball, he is so pure. He was just like, I don't want to cry, but I'm going to cry.
Pure.
And just all bad. I mean, just sports. I love sports.
Made you feel good.
Basketball can do that.
Sports is amazing. I agree. And the Vitale thing was touching. All right, so this more frivolity, more frivolous nonsense for me. So I'm actually thankful for Kim and Pete's relationship right now, and I'll explain why.
Oh, not that you've been so boy. Critical.
Listen, not that I support it because it's absurd and it's ridiculous. But here's what I'm thankful for, and even with Ariana Grande and what's his face, her husband. The fact is, we're living in a weird time where I would consider, not, you know, Pete Davidson's not a nobody, but people that are lower status on the totem pole of fame, you can level jump, and it has opened the door. Like, anybody can pull a celebrity these days. Anybody can date.
It's like Kevin Garnett.
Anything is possible. If you run into like a celebrity in a club somewhere, you can pull it. If the right moment, right timing.
So this has inspired you.
This is inspiring to me. Fabian's
going to shoot a shot with a Kardashian.
All the nobodies out there, you can level jump. It has been proven time and again this year with Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian. And Ariana and everybody else, you can level jump.
You can level jump with one thing. One main thing.
Money?
What?
Good personality.
Oh, yeah. More than that, too.
And being the most popular cast member on SNL, but you're right there. It's like cast member on SNL.
Anyway, just shoot for the stars, kids. That's what I'm thinking.
And
for
by
this
the
year.
Way, if there's a really pretty girl, you should just take the shot.
Shoot your shot. That's a great
because
way to
a
end
lot
it.
Of the
shoot
times,
your shot.
Guys are too scared to go up to a really pretty girl because they're like, oh my God, this girl's like way out of my element. Like, it's not going to work. I don't want to get rejected.
And by the way, dating apps have ruined that because, like, in the old days, you had to. If you wanted to get laid, you had to get in there and holler at somebody. Now you got the dating apps, it's way easier to filter through and organize and whatnot. But now you're right.
Fabian grew up in the 1940s. And he's like your age, and he's like always talking about the old days.
Anyway, you're right. Shoot your shot, kids. Love is out there, and you can get it with a celebrity if you want. So, anyway.
We are thankful for you guys, too, always tuning in every week. And you can listen to us everywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
Google.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
We're on YouTube, too, if you want to see our pretty faces. So, check us out.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Till next time. Take care.